This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, welcome. It is Just Saying, and joining me as always, breakfast presenter and father of four, Aaron Wright.
I'm starting first the last couple of
weeks. I know,
because
I can't handle you whinging. It's four.
Oh, come on.
Child psychologist from Family Smart, Colette Smart. Good morning.
Good morning.
And, of course, author of parenting blog from mouthsforbabes.com, Katrina Rowe.
How you doing?
Going so well. Now, this is going to be a fun one. Because I really think I need some help on this one. Sibling rivalry. Now I've got a 6 and a 4-year-old, and oh my goodness, everything's a competition at the moment. They love each other to death. My goodness, you couldn't ask for more, but even getting to the bathroom's become a race. I race you there. I can't. And then now they've started this new thing, which is whoever comes second is the winner. So it's like, no matter where we go at the moment, it's like my 4-year-old boy is starting to assert himself. So Colette, we need some tips. Why is there sibling rivalry, and what exactly are kids telling us when we see this happening?
Well, sibling rivalry is just all about becoming an individual. And I think they kind of experiment with social situations and social relationships at home. And a lot of the things they learn at home and that you help them and teach them through sibling rivalry can be translated outside. So it's a great learning ground. So that's naturally going to happen in the house. And children are trying to find their place in the world, establish who they are. And at home, we are trying to build their self-esteem. Now, sometimes the word self-esteem can be a bit contentious, but I think self-esteem, even defined by the Australian Psychological Society, self-esteem is not something about being boastful or proud of yourself, but it's actually really just about knowing what your gifts are and who you are and what you can contribute to the world.
Yeah, nice.
And so it's helping our children find those things, but still recognize and support others. And it's that kind of thing that's causing the sibling rivalry. It's trying to establish who they are. And children are selfish. They just are selfish beings.
The world is theirs.
Yes, and the world revolves around them. So I think that's kind of where it stems from.
Yeah, okay. Aaron, 4 children. I'm just whinging about 2. How do you guys go? Oh, unless, of course, they're probably the perfect children.
They are the perfect children. Look, growing up, I did not get on with my brother at all.
Yep.
We fought like cats and dogs, and I've always wanted a harmonious family, like the just all getting on together and helping each other out. Lara and Miranda, they just rub each other up the wrong way, and they'll just start fighting. There's nothing more than that. They just they need some time apart. And Jordan starting to get more assertive as a boy as well, and just sort of uses his fist to get out of things.
How old is he now?
He is turning 3 in September.
Yes,
so it's interesting to watch that, but it's just, it really, they just, I don't think there's anything deeper apart from they're just ticking each other off. They spend too much time together. They need some time apart.
Yeah.
That's all I see.
And it's
it
like
as.
If you were about to move in with someone, a housemate or something like that, you'd kind of pick and choose. You're a grown up. As a child, you
no
got these
choice.
Other people. You got no choice. You either sink or swim, really. Katrina, what is your take on sibling rivalry?
Yeah, well, I'm 1 of 4 as well. I think that sibling rivalry wasn't a big issue for us, but we did all do different types of activities.
Perfect.
In my home, of course, because one of my 2 children is a baby, we don't have a lot of issues with competitive behaviour, but you know, like one child being better at soccer than the other, I can imagine Kaylee saying, "Mom, Molly's a better dribbler than me." I'm like, "Yeah, not that sort of dribbling." But anyway, I think what we can do as parents is basically encourage each child individually to find what they're good at and what they enjoy. And I guess I sort of think that if kids see that you believe in them, they might be a little bit less likely to compare each other all the time. And I wanted to share a little story because I think kids do know very instinctively, very early on, whether or not you believe in their ability and their potential. Because my daughter loves to draw, and she's only 5, so I don't know if she's any good yet or not. But I recently emailed a scan of one of her drawings to a few family members, and an hour later, my big sister Fee wrote on Facebook, "My 5-year-old niece is an artist." And I told Kaylee what Auntie Fee had written, and she immediately got that drawing out, which she loved and doesn't like to give away, put it in an envelope and posted it to Auntie Fee.
Wow.
So even at 5, she was quite profoundly moved by the fact that her auntie believes in her.
Yep.
And so I think that's a really good thing that we can do is believe in our children's potential.
Absolutely.
And not focus just on outcomes.
Awesome. We'll hold it right there. We will be back in just a moment with more with Just Saying. All right, welcome back. I'm here with Aaron Wright, Colette Smart, and Katrina Rowe. And on Just Saying Today, we're talking about sibling rivalry. Now, also, Colette, I'm just wondering, when you've got kids that are, like, so good if they've got different likes, but if they're all the same. Mm. I grew up in a family of three girls who could all do musical things, and we were all sort of occupied the same space, so to speak. Mm. How can we help each child feel individuated, I guess, and, yeah, that they're sort of unique in a way?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's actually a very common question that I do get from parents.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to not compare your children if they do have similar interests. But you also get some children who the one child in the family just excels at every instrument or every sport they pick up, where the other one doesn't.
Mm.
And I always advise parents to find for the other child who isn't excelling at all those other things, to find something just for him and her, that even if you knew your child who is the kind of star, if they did that sport, they would excel. Don't enroll that child in that sport.
Mm.
Allow the child to actually have something that his brother or sister just never does.
Mm.
Allow him to excel or have something, even if he doesn't have to be the star of the team or the or the club, but he can just have something for him that his parents and family talk to him about, because it's his sport. I think that's really important for kids.
And you're also saying before that the things that we learn through sibling rivalry, we can take into the adult world. So I guess not always winning, not always finishing first, not always being the best is the lesson we all have to learn at some point before we reach adulthood.
Yeah.
And so kids can actually take away from that as
well. And I often encourage parents with sibling rivalry is to create a culture of support in your family. Like for my children, I say to them, you will always stick up for your brother and sister before anybody else.
Mm.
Don't let me catch you outside there pulling them down in front of other people. You might disagree here in the home, but you stick up for each other out there. And then things like giving your kids common projects to do. Sometimes, particularly if there's a lot of sibling rivalry between two, give them a common project that they both have to work towards a common goal. Like, well, if you do it well and you don't fight and go ballistic during this time, we can all go for a movie next Saturday. So, and I've heard my kids sometimes going, shh, don't fight them, and don't let mum hear you, because, you know, if she does, we won't go to the movie.
Aaron's nodding on this one, so this one speaks to you.
It's good, but I think still, there's definitely the jealousy thing there, and then that whatever task it might be, even just simple things, like, I want to set the table. No, you set the table last night, whatever. This stuff, this wanting to be better than the other over everything, it's just separate and give them anything to do. Just keep them apart.
Well, I actually did that the other night. I said, I tried to make a really bad job into something fun. So I said, Ethan, why don't you take this into the bin for me? And then Billy actually said, he always gets to throw things in the bin. I'm like, no way. No way are you going to fight over who gets. So, Katrina, do you have any other ways that we can help our kids through these things?
I just really think that with two things. I liked what Colette said about communal rewards. I think that's great. Share the rewards, because if you have separate rewards, that leads to more competitive behavior. But I also really do think focusing on the process rather than the outcome. You know, if you make a big deal about one child scoring three goals at soccer, of course the other one's going to feel inadequate. Whereas if you talk about teamwork, sharing the ball, doing our best, they're not things that you compare. They're things that you just do your own way. But also, let them set their own goals. So as long as those goals are realistic, they'll be much more likely to do their best if they're doing something that they want to do, rather than just trying to live up to their big brother or sister. I mean, I have a little sister who was good at everything. She was brilliant, you know, honor student. She was on a scholarship in the A team for hockey and cricket and every game, house captain, blah, blah, blah. The only thing that I was better at than her was dancing. That was the only thing. And so that was kind of my thing that I did, you know. And so I think that, and, you know, and I would have loved to play the drums, but I never would have picked up a drum because she played the drums, you know. I played the guitar. So I do think that helping them to separate a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, if they all love music, just give them a different instrument.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, a book in our house that's really helped is the Max Licato book, You Are Special. I don't know if you guys have read that one to your kids. Someone passed it on to me, and it's just basically talking about being made in a certain way that's just unique. You are unique, and then basically going on to say that God made you and he doesn't make mistakes. So that's really helped in our house. I read that at night sometimes, and it's sort of like, oh, okay. And so whatever comes from that is my thing, and Ethan does his thing, and we kind of try to work on that a lot. But, Colette, just to finish up, so sibling rivalry, not necessarily a bad thing, no. but something we've got to sort of keep our eye on and work through.
It's part of life, part of learning social norms. And I think I need to end by saying that parents need to often spell out to their children the fairness. Children sometimes don't pick it up. They will see, oh, mum always spends time or always allows Susie to throw the paper in the bin except me or whatever.
What's that about?
But I think we need to actually spell out to our children, even if you have to for a while, put a list on your fridge about with the things that you've done for each child so they can see the comparison if it's that bad in your home.
Yeah.
That they can see mum spend time with me, because sometimes sibling rivalry comes out of that needing to feel that you are important to your parents. So absolutely. There's lots of little things we can do, but I think the discussion today has covered most of that. I think it's been fantastic.
Awesome. Well, thank you once again, everybody, Aaron, Colette, Katrina, and please come back next week. I'm loving it.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.